Well, welcome one and all to this beautiful Resurrection Day morning. We are so glad to be able to worship our risen Lord together with you. If you have your worship guide or if you have your Bible, we're going to be reading from Acts 13 this morning. I'm going to pray, read, and then we'll jump to it. Let's pray together. Gracious God in heaven, we come before you this early morning with hearts full of gratitude and thanks because of what our Lord Jesus Christ has done. He emptied himself, took the form of a servant, and learned obedience to the point of death, even death on a cross. But you, Father, would not let that be the last word, and you have raised him from the dead, and so we celebrate. And we ask this morning as we consider your word that you will write its eternal truths on our hearts, and that we will go from this place full of joy, joy of the Lord, because he has risen. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Acts 13, verses 26 to 39. We'll start there. Brothers, sons of the family of Abraham, and those among you who fear God, to us has been sent the message of this salvation. For those who live in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they did not recognize him, nor understand the utterances of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath, fulfilled them by condemning him. And though they found in him no guilt worthy of death, they asked Pilate to have him executed. And when they had carried out all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead. And for many days he appeared to those who had come up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who were now his witnesses to the people. And we bring you the good news that what God promised to the fathers, this he has fulfilled to us, their children, by raising Jesus. As also it is written in the second Psalm, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. And as for the fact that he raised him from the dead, no more to return to corruption, he has spoken in this way, I will give you the holy and sure blessings of David. Therefore, he says also in another psalm, you will not let your Holy One see corruption. For David, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation, fell asleep and was laid with his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised up did not see corruption. Let it be known to you, therefore, brothers, that through this man, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. And by him, everyone who believes is freed from everything from which you could not be freed by the law of Moses. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. So this in Acts is Paul's first recorded sermon that we have. He probably preached a few times before this, but this is the first one that we have recorded. And it's amazing that what Paul begins to center on is this one simple idea, that the promise of God has been fulfilled. In fact, we know he goes on to say in the letter to the Corinthians that all the promises of God find their yes in Jesus Christ. And so he's making that same point here in this sermon. But sometimes the idea of promise for us is hard. Promises are not taken very seriously in our modern culture. I think that's because we live in a world where a person's word is not really their bond. And if we hold too tightly to a promise, we will more often than not be disappointed. Perhaps this is the feelings that the disciples had Friday evening and Saturday. The feeling of those closest to Jesus waiting. They had gone all in on God's promises, believing they were true in this Jesus of Nazareth. But his body was in a tomb, and they were on the run back to Galilee. And yet Paul is saying here that the promise is fulfilled. And here's the promise. This is exactly what's being fulfilled. It's the promise that we find throughout the scriptures. I will be your God, and you will be my people. And I will make my dwelling with you. That's the promise of God that's being fulfilled in Jesus. I will be your God, and you will be my people. And I will make my dwelling with you. I will be in your midst for all eternity. So this morning, what I want us to consider in this passage is really two things. how the resurrection fulfilled this. What it meant to Jesus, what the resurrection meant to Jesus, and what the resurrection means to you. Those are the two things that I want us to consider. So first, what did the resurrection mean for Jesus? Jesus stands now as the risen Lord in possession of full humanity. He didn't return to his pre-existent state of being only divine. The incarnation was permanent. But Jesus is no longer in that state of humiliation that he was under as the servant, the suffering servant, before his death. He is now glorified. As Paul shows from that psalm, you will not let your Holy One see corruption. All those who have gone before Jesus died. Even Lazarus, who was resuscitated, died again. But Jesus rose to new life, never to see corruption. The risen Christ has new might and majesty. His humanity, which was at one point so vulnerable, is now almighty. He's no longer the man of sorrows. He is the man of glory. And what is true of Jesus, he always goes before his people to walk the way, that God wiped away every tear from his eye. And so it is true of us that one day he will wipe away every tear from our eye. But also what the resurrection meant for Jesus is that he has been appointed the Son of God with power. Now we know that Jesus was the Son of God from all eternity. And yet Paul quotes the Psalms here, Psalm 2, where it says, "You are my Son, today I have begotten you." So if Jesus has existed eternally as the Son of God, what could Paul be saying? Well, what he is saying is what he explains in the book of Romans, that Jesus is now appointed the Son of God with power. He holds a new power and authority that he did not hold as the suffering servant, but as the risen King, he holds a new power and authority. The once weak and humiliated Son of God became the Son of God in full majesty and authority. The end of his poverty has come. And it also means that the promise of glory that would be bestowed on Christ after his work has been accomplished and fulfilled. This is the man, the God-man. And also what the resurrection means for Jesus is that he has reconciled fallen humanity back to God. The promise, "I will be your God and you will be my people." Remember, all those before him died, bodies decaying and rotting, including the great King David. Yet Jesus did not see corruption. His body was preserved, and now he stands as truly God and as truly man before the throne of grace. He in himself is the promise of God with us. That's what the resurrection means for Jesus. He stands as the God-man before the throne of grace, ready to intercede for us, ready to receive us. But secondly, what does the resurrection mean for us? What does the resurrection of this man who lived 2,000 some years ago mean for us? And I want to consider this through his three primary roles. Jesus was a prophet and a priest and a king. So we understand the risen Lord and what it means for us through those lenses. First, he is the true prophet, which means for us that he stands to illuminate or give light to our dead eyes and our dead hearts, the truth of his word by his spirit. The message of the gospel and the truth of scripture we can now see. As Paul explains in verse 26, it is the message of this salvation that has come. And the word that he uses there for message is the same word that John uses in John 1, the Logos. Jesus is the Logos, the eternal word of God, and he in himself, in his life, death, and resurrection, is the message of salvation. Hearing and receiving the gospel, friends, means nothing less than hearing and receiving Jesus Christ, dead and risen. But Jesus is also the true priest. And in his role as priest, he has fully reconciled us to God. It was not just that Jesus Christ covered our sin and made it go away. No, it was worse than that. The wrath of God fell on him as the sacrifice. thereby satisfying the divine justice of God for sin, and it was his shed blood that covers you. This means nothing less than that the promise has been restored and made true for us. I will be your God and you will be my people because the blood of Christ covers you and you can now stand in God's presence. It's nothing short of amazing. As the author of Hebrews says, he ever lives to intercede for us. He stands now before the throne of grace in his glorified humanity, pleading his blood on your behalf, carrying your prayers and petitions before God. And moreover, he stands in his glorified humanity with the memories of Nazareth and of Galilee, of poverty and pain, of temptation and suffering, of Gethsemane and of Golgotha. He stands with these memories and they are imprinted indelibly on his memory, and it profoundly influences the way that he runs his kingdom. He knows what it's like to be frail and weak, to suffer, to go under trial and temptation. He knows, and he stands alongside of us as our great high priest. He remembers that we are but dust and knows our humanness from the inside. But Jesus is also the great king. Before, his kingdom was focused simply on Israel, but now the nations have been given to him as his inheritance. Remember, Paul quoted Psalm 2 there, "You are my son, and today I have begotten you." And the very next verse of Psalm 2 says, God declares that I will give you the king, the nations, as your heritage. The whole entire world is his dominion now. This is why we poor, wretched, sinful outsiders can hear the gospel and believe, because his resurrection dominion extends over all the earth. As king, he paid the ransom price of his blood to redeem all of his people. This is what Paul speaks about in verses 38 and 39. This is what the resurrection means for us. Through this man, we receive the forgiveness of sins. Is that not amazing? Through this man, we receive the forgiveness of sins. By believing in Christ, you are freed. You are completely free. The word that Paul uses there is justified. By believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are justified. You stand before a holy God, pardoned of every single sin that you've ever committed and will ever commit. Everything that would separate you from God has been abolished in Christ. You are pardoned and accepted as righteous in the sight of God because you're covered with the righteousness of Christ if you've believed. You're freed completely. Free from the curse of trying to make yourself right with God, because Christ has done it. He's won it for you. What's amazing here is that the redemption, the freedom that we have, is commensurate with the price. See, the price, we are as free as the blood of Christ deserves. Precious to God beyond our wildest imagination. Because for each one of us, Jesus Christ paid literally a king's ransom. Something we could never afford. And lastly, the resurrection means for us is that Jesus stands as our conquering king. He dealt once and for all of our sins. Sin has no power, no authority over one of Christ's sheep. It is and will be put to death in you. The evil one, who rages violently now for a time, looking for someone to devour, he has been bound. Christ's covering for all the sins of his people on the cross. And in so doing, his death wipes out the sentence. And this dealt a very big death blow to the evil one. But also, Jesus Christ has conquered death. We said it in our call to worship. Death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? Death has been swallowed up in the victory of Christ. The grave could not hold him. And it cannot hold any one of you or who are his people. See, what the resurrection means for us, is that we stand before a holy God in his presence because of Christ. The promise of God being our people and we, or God being our God and we being his people and we being in his presence, happens in Christ. So this morning, I urge you to consider Christ. Look at his beauty, look at his majesty, look at his power and his authority as king over all the earth. Look to Jesus because he is risen. Let's pray. Precious Lord Jesus, we love you and we thank you this morning for the opportunity to worship you, the risen King. The promises are all true in you. Everything we'd ever hoped for, ever imagined, we can look to you and know that it's true. Father, you have saw fit to raise him from the dead with such power and majesty. And now we long and we wait with expectation until the day when we see him face to face. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. We praise you in your matchless name. Amen.